This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Give a big South Haven, Horn Lake, Hernando, DeSoto County welcome to Mayor Zachary Bigler.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's funny. Mayor Zachary Bigler. I didn't see that one about 5 or 10 years ago, but that's why we follow God, and it's the good steps, the steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord, right? And so we endeavor to live our lives being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you're led by the Holy Spirit, it's such an adventure in faith, isn't it? Woo, it's an adventure, amen. And when I say adventure, it doesn't always mean it's all good and happy and floating on clouds and skipping through tulips. Sometimes you gotta fight and you gotta cry and you gotta plead with God to get through some seasons in life. But if you don't quit, where's my organ? Goodness gracious, I'm going to get ready to preach today. If you just don't quit, right, life gets better. Like, we win. That's the encouragement we have as Christians is we know the end. We know what's coming, right? We know where we're going. That's such good news. And so we see the scriptures. We see what the Bible tells us. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. You know, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have situations that come up in life. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And no matter what we go through, we will see victory at some point in our life. And so my life is just an absolute testimony. He mentioned I became a mayor of a town. Our town is called Pine Level, Alabama. Come on, somebody. Yeah. There you go. We are the fastest growing area in Autauga County, Alabama. And the way this whole thing came back, some people are kind of funny about preachers and politics. And the good thing about being a mayor is you don't have to get on like your left wing, right wing bandwagon. It's really about the business of the town, okay? And so basically a mayor is the CEO of the incorporation is really how it is. And so, long story short, because I came and I got a message, but I'll talk on this just real briefly, is my heart for, I don't know, recent years had really started getting geared towards more local. I got a 10-year-old, I got an 8-year-old, I got a 5-year-old, my wife's pregnant again, woo, I'm 43, I'll be 61 when this one graduates high school. Pray for your brother, amen. Pray for your brother. Glory to God. But I'll have a lot of grandkids one day when I'm an old man and leave a legacy. Ain't that? We were talking about that earlier. And so anyway, my heart kind of started getting more local, my area. I'm a dad, right? So that's only right. And so there was this group of people that started getting together, and they were looking to form a town in our area. Our area was growing, there was a lot of things going on, and we wanted a voice, we wanted a little bit of a say-so. And so I just got a part of this committee, and all of a sudden this thing went to a vote, and it passed, and it became a town. Now we needed leadership. And to be a leader in the town, you had to live within the town limits, and myself and this other guy were the only ones that could on the committee that could be on the leadership team. And so I was kind of wanting this, my neighbor, he's 70-something years old, I was kind of wanting him to be the mayor, and I was kind of pushing him to be the mayor. I figured I'd be a councilman, that way I could have a little bit of influence, I have a little bit of say-so, but I could hide behind the mayor if things went down, you know what I'm saying? Mama didn't raise no dummy. And so I started talking to this guy about it, and he was like, he leaned over his head, 70-something year old man looks at me and he says, I'd rather not. Man. All right. So I knew I had to start thinking about this. And so I was thinking council, but I'm talking to Christians today. Y'all know when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you down here, we call it that gut feeling. It's really our spirit man is talking to us by the Holy Spirit. And this thing mayor came up, and I started thinking about that. And I was like, oh, goodness. And I had to be honest, right? We got to be honest with ourselves. I said, maybe that's my ego. Let me check my ego a little bit. That kind of ego thing, mayor seems so lofty, right? And it was there. So I started praying about it, started getting some counsel, started getting some wisdom. And I stepped out, and I started running. And then the keyboard warriors started chiming in because it's politics. And so you had to fight through some things. And anyway, it went to vote, and I won with 57% of the vote, and I became a mayor of a town. Glory to God. And so, generally speaking, when you have a town, you have just insert mayor. The machine's already oiled and it's going. We are literally building the machine. And so it's a lot of work. It's like drinking water from a fire hose. But one thing I can say, and I'll get into my message here in just a moment, is for the past 20-something years that I've been sitting in church services, studying the Word, praying, seeking God. And just in case you're wondering, I am a tongue-talking, Spirit-filled believer that is a mayor of a town. Amen. And we need godly people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be in places of influence like this. And so what I'm learning is I found myself, because I preach and I travel, my prayers would be kind of geared towards the services and the meetings. And that's nothing wrong with that, because that's where my attention was. But as I stepped into this new role, I started finding God opening doors and putting me in rooms and putting me at tables with some of the who's who's within my community and rubbing elbows. And just, it's simply because of the title I carry now. But as God's beginning to open these doors, and the Holy Spirit lives and dwells and abides on the inside of me, right? Like, actually, everywhere I go, the Holy Ghost goes, right? It's so cool. See, you're pregnant, right? This is a cool example. She's 3 weeks away. She's literally carrying a human being. Such a great picture for us to see of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us. She's carrying a living being within her. Wow. And now we as Christians are carrying the living, breathing Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And everywhere we go, the Holy Ghost goes in. So the Holy Ghost obviously is wanting to get into some of these rooms. And I just wonder if there's some people in here that God is looking to get you outside of just the pews and start carrying some influence out here into the world. Amen. And so God has been faithful, and God is allowing me some really neat opportunities to use Scripture. And I don't even have to say, well, in such and such chapter, in such and such verse, I can speak the Word, and they may not even realize I'm preaching the Word to them. God is awesome. God is awesome. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We need you. We trust you for everything that you're doing in our life. You are faithful. You are faithful, faithful, faithful. You are good, good, good. And there's no bad in you. Lord, I'm so grateful that you're never mad at us, that you're never holding our sins over our head, that you're not looking to beat us down or squish us like a bug, but you are always looking to elevate us and rescue us and take us to the next level. You're there in the depths of the sea. You're there if we make our bed in hell. You're there if we rise up to the heights of heavens. You are always with us no matter what, and I'm so appreciative of that. I thank you, God, that we will always see victory every day as long as we just don't quit and keep the vision of Jesus before our eyes. We love you. We appreciate you. Help me to preach this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to us today, a title called Look Where You're Going. Look Where You're Going. Real quickly, if you could, I want everybody to look in this room, kind of look around. I want you to find the color purple. Find the color purple. It shouldn't be too hard, okay? Find the color purple, right? Just look, get it. All right, you're looking. All right, just go with me. Everybody close your eyes. Just come on. Just close your eyes real quick. You got the color purple. You found something that looks purple. All right. All right. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you, somebody, just to shout out loud, tell me everything you saw that was the color brown. Okay, you can open your eyes. I think I made my point. Notice when I said purple, tell me what you found. You found something purple. What'd you find? Okay, wall and the chairs. Anybody find anything different? The thing over there? The wall. But as I said purple, you were thinking I'm purple, but then all of a sudden I said brown. How many of y'all kind of like, well, wait a minute, I was focused on purple. And I wanted you to see something, because what you're looking for is what you'll focus on and what you'll remember. And a lot of times in life, we're so constantly focused on the negative, on what they did, what they didn't do, how this happened, how what. We're always focused on this, and what we look at, what our vision is on, is generally the direction our life will go, okay? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Let's flip over there real quick and let's read something. I want to talk to you today about look where you're going. look where you're going. What you focus on is what you'll have in life. If you'll look to the future with positivity, with faith, with courage, you'll begin to see the victory that you so desperately desire in your heart. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. I'm reading in the New King James Version. Does anybody have a King James Version Bible with you? Sir, could you, is it on your phone? What? Is it on the screen? King James. You got it with you? Pull it up?
Yeah.
Okay, read it out loud, would you please? Oh, never mind. It's on the screen. Thank you, media team. You're amazing. Oh, it's on the back wall. Look at that. Y'all have grown. I don't remember that being there last time. I'm about 97% sure it wasn't on the back wall last time I was here. I hadn't been here since 21, so y'all have done something. Okay. All right, here we go. Verse 18, 29. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want you to just remember two words. Remember vision, and then remember the word perish. Where there is no vision, can you say vision?
Vision.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The New King James reads it like this. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The Message reads it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. One more version. It talks about in the Holman translation. It says, without revelation, which literally means vision, people run wild. But the one who listens to instruction will be happy. I was asking God a question years and years ago. I worked for a ministry called Canaan Ministries that dealt with men that come from like a drug and an alcohol type background. It's a year-long program, and I asked this question, what's going on? Because there was a bunch of people that were quote-unquote falling or messing up and kind of going back to their old life. And as I was praying, I heard back in my heart this response, my people are perishing. And I thought about Hosea 4:4. It talks about my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, but that wasn't what God said. He says, my people are perishing. And so I ended up finding this verse, and I began to read, and I began to study over time what this scripture meant. And I began to realize that when we start finding people, we're finding ourselves kind of going back to our old ways, or we're kind of stumbling through life, the scripture tells us that when I have no vision, my option is perishing. Or, we read, running wild. Casting off restraint. Don't raise your hand, don't look at your neighbor, but you ever just gone through a tough time and you were just like, forget about it. Maybe use some other choice words, but, oh, y'all are the holy group, okay. But you just cast it off restraint. Ah, forget it. It's too tough, it's too hard. Why? Why does this keep happening? Why? 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 I just can't take it no more. We cast off restraint when we lose our vision. And so when we read the scripture, we got to first of all come to this really just basic truth that I am going to believe this word and I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to trust that this is the inspired Holy Scripture from God. You got to settle that in your heart. Once I believe that, then all of a sudden I take this word and I begin to apply it in my life, and I begin to study this word, and I begin to speak this word, and I begin to use this word as a carpenter uses a tool, as a soldier uses his weapon. This is now my sword for life. So, ladies and gentlemen, to keep from perishing, we must have a vision for our life. Come on now. He's preaching, an 84-year-old man. Now, you got to let me preach today, sir. I know you called me. He said I was young earlier. I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. To keep from perishing, we must have a vision. Let me give you all some definitions if you're taking notes. The word vision means this. It means sight, dream, redemptive revelation, oracle. It represents the message received by prophetic revelation. Can we all agree that in order to prosper in life, to get ahead in life, to see victory in life, we first and foremost have to keep the vision of Jesus before our eyes? Do I got Christians in the house today? To be born again, I must have faith. I must have vision of Jesus dying on the cross. Come on, somebody. Being buried in the tomb, right? Rose again on the third day. This is basic doctrinal, foundational stuff. But once I have the vision, the redemptive revelation that Jesus came to the earth, he was born of a virgin, he lived a perfect sinless life, he died on the cross, he was buried in a tomb, he was raised on the third day, 50 days later he ascended to heaven, had witnesses, angels ascending with him, he's now seated on the right hand of God. You know that takes faith to believe everything I just said right there, because logic is like tilt, tilt, tilt. But Christianity isn't a logical religion. It's a faith-based religion. And so if I have vision in what Jesus has done, if I have this redemptive revelation, I know that I know I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from separation from God. I got a vision of Jesus, and it's going to prevent me from perishing. But what happens in the now and now, in this nasty life that we live in now, when we got all kinds of crazy things going on? We all got stories. We all got testimonies. Amen. Go ahead and tell Jesus. We'll call him after the service. Someone's phone or alarm went off. We all got stories. We all got testimonies. We all have struggles. We all have gone through trials. We've all had situations that have come against us. But what happens when we're in the midst of those times, and how we respond to the vision that we believe God's put before us, is going to determine how quick we get through that season of life. Some of you older folks, Pastor Guy, I'm kidding. 84. Some of y'all older folks, right? Some of us that have just lived a little bit life, we understand life is full of seasons, isn't it? Right? Some seasons are good. Some seasons are horrible. Some seasons we are so thankful we never want to end. Some seasons we just really want to forget about. Come on, am I the only one? But to have a vision is important for our future. If you want to know the Zachary Bigley translation, I'm going to tell you anyway. The interpretation for the word vision is this. It's a God-inspired picture. God speaks to me in pictures. He gives me ideas. We had a youth camp that started in 2013. I know this will probably be sad news, but this is our first year. I told Pastor Guy this. We stopped our youth camp after however many years. It was just that season's just come to an end. We may start one back in winter camp, but Josh, Zoe was up. Ashley was there. Yeah, Zoe. Y'all were part of an era. Y'all are part of a season, but it's come to an end. But why did I bring it? Oh yeah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because our youth camp, we had this youth camp, man. It was great. It was a great run. We had a great season. It was a great time. People got born again. It's just awesome, cool stuff happened, right? But it all started when I was raking the yard and I had an idea. I had a thought to do something. I became mayor. It's something just, I had this thought came from within my spirit that rose up, and I acted on it. I got a vision for something, and then I acted on it. So a God-inspired picture. My question to you is how much time are we spending with the Creator? How much time are we spending with the Greater One? How much communion and fellowship are we having with God Almighty and allowing Him to speak and to paint pictures and to create this canvas on our heart and say, look, this is what I want you to do. This is where I'm leading you. This is where I want you to go. But what happens is we've gotten so busy. Right? Come on, all of us. Adults, y'all talk about the kids and their cell phones. Y'all adults is just addicted, if not more. And it's just distraction. It's just noise, right? It's just busy. We're just busy, 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 busy. And we get so busy, 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 especially if you got a bunch of youngins. Y'all laugh because y'all know what I'm talking about. Whew. That we sometimes just get so busy we forgot to just go commune with the Greater One. Just sit down and hang out. Say, Father, just speak to me. My heart is an open canvas. Just draw the vision, the picture that you have for me to succeed, to do, to fulfill destiny in life. The word perish, let me give you a definition on this. It means to stumble, die, naked, disappear, cease to exist, be destroyed, cast off, restraint, scattered abroad, run wild, without order, out of control, unrestrained. The Strong's gives us the definition of the word perish, to loosen, implying expose or dismiss. Come on, parents, don't look at your kids, but how many times have you tried to get them to get some wisdom and some vision for their life and they just dismiss it? Oh, you're old. No, we don't do it like that in our day and age. Right? Just dismissive. Versus learning from the wisdom and learning from the life experience that the elders have had before us and maybe just thinking, maybe possibly somehow they've lived just enough life to kind of just give me a little bit of wisdom that I can apply to my life. But to perish means we're dismissive. We're running wild. And how many of y'all know people? Let's pretend this is the path of life. And you're like, golly, I know that God has created you to do so much more. That you have so much more purpose, so much more passion, so much more of God's legacy is on the inside of you. And you're yet to tap into it. And it's just they're like out there running wild. They're just dismissive of the commands of God. They're dismissive of the scriptures. They're dismissive of prayer. They're just dismissive of church. They're just dismissive, loose, just like, whatever. Yeah. Those are the people that you will eventually see disappearing. Whatever happened to so-and-so? The answer is always found in vision. What is the vision for your life? What is the God-inspired picture for your future? Where do you see yourself 5, 10, 15 years from now? Some of you elders maybe say, well, I've lived enough life. I'm retired. Okay, it's time for a fresh vision. Come on, it should never stop. This thing should go from generation to generation to generation. What is the God-inspired picture for your life? Because remember, just as you looked for purple when I asked you where was brown, none of y'all said anything about brown because you were so focused on the purple. And how many of us are living off yesterday's vision that we've forgotten to look forward as to what's to come? If I get so focused on what God did 5, 10 years ago when I was in my 30s, my goodness, I'm missing out on all the cool stuff that's happening in my 40s. Amen. If I get stuck on just the 40s, what am I going to miss out when I get into my 50s? There's always fresh vision, and it always comes back to a place of communion with the Creator. God, I come to you, and I'm asking you to paint a fresh picture on my heart. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So perish, to die, to disappear and cease to exist, to be destroyed. Vision, ladies and gentlemen, keeps you in line. Vision keeps you in line. Judah Smith, he's a preacher on the West Coast. I like this quote of his. It says this. He's got a quote that says this. The greatest deterrent to sin is vision. Woo! Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at yourself in the mirror. Don't make it obvious that I'm talking about you. But have you ever found yourself struggling with some kind of sin, whatever you want to call it, some failure, some shortcoming? We all have, let's be honest. Struggle. Oh, just when you think you're getting a little bit of victory, you find yourself going right back down that road. Oh, I thought I had victory over here. Oh, I'm right back up. It keeps pulling me back in. The greatest deterrent to that is vision. If I'm walking down the path that God has for me, the God-ordained will of God for my life, as I'm walking down this path and there's a distraction here or distraction here, I'm so focused on what's ahead, I ain't got time to look to my left or to my right. Hey, come over here. Come do this. Sorry, you're not on the path of where I'm going. I'm looking where I'm going. Thank you for those three amens. I'm preaching pretty good this morning, y'all. All right, go ahead and shout. It's okay, man. Okay. They may think you're a little arrogant. They may think you're just kind of, you're too cool, whatever. Oh, you're one of those. No. I am too focused to waste my time on things that are going to distract me from what God has called me to do. Oh, you're too good for us now. Oh, you're just one of those Christians. No, dude, it has nothing to do with that. I just know what God has called me to do. And I got too much on the line to keep going down this path to be concerned about all these Jekyll and Hydes over here. Are y'all with me? And it's hard to defeat a focused individual that says, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, how can you be so confident that that's what you're supposed to do? Because I've been spending time with the Creator. Oh, the Holy Spirit, He's our best friend, ladies and gentlemen. The Scripture tells us that He's our comforter. The Lord knows I needed to be comforted a time or two in my life. It tells us that he's our paraclete. He's our comforter. He's one that walks alongside of us. Whoo, that's so awesome. You know, being a mayor, I've had it said, watch your back. Probably could say that about being a pastor too. Watch your back. What they've failed to realize is as I'm walking forward, the Bible, I got a scripture that says that He's my rear guard. He's already watching my back. But we got to believe this. We got to study this. We got to understand. And so they say, well, you're kind of arrogant. You're kind of confident. No. I just believe what God has said about me in His Word. And here's the thing. People can want to argue with you all day long, but it's really hard to argue with results. Y'all okay? I think y'all have more to you than what you're living right now. I think there's more to fulfill within this group of people right here than what you're currently allowing yourself to walk in. I think there's greater destiny connected to you than what I think you're currently seeing. And I wonder if I can just come kind of be like a fire poker. You know those what are those little sticks and they got the hook on it when you're doing fire? Y'all know what I'm talking about, the fire. If I can, what are those called anyway? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. If I can be a poker. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And man, what's your name?
Mariella.
If I can just poke Mariella a bit. What's your name, man?
John.
If I can just poke John just a little bit. Come on, sir. Poke you just, where's Susie? Did I meet Susie? Yeah, so I met Susie. Just poke you a little bit with that. Come on, there's more to you than what you're living in today. And when you poke that fire, what happens? Those sparks start flying, they start stirring, add a little bit of air, add a little bit of spirit, Holy Ghost, wind blowing on that thing. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, that flame starts fanning. All of a sudden, people start gathering because folks want to watch something burn. Come on now. And all of a sudden, you see the vision that God has ordained you, that He's called you to do, starts taking place. So my question is, what is your vision? What is your vision? I'm going to say it again. What is your vision? No one can answer that question better than you. And no one can tell you what that answer is better than Him.
The value of decision.
I'm telling y'all, this stuff works. And when we have no vision, we find ourselves casting off restraint. When we have no vision, we find ourselves running wild. When we have no vision, we want to quit. When we have no vision, what happens? We get weary. We get off course. But you can't stop a man or a woman that has a God-ordained vision for their life. I want you to go over and look at Luke chapter 8. And I want you to remember this word perish that we found over here in Proverbs 29:18. I want to share the story of Jesus with His disciples. Luke chapter 8, let's start reading over in verse 22. Am I going to have it on the back screen? All right, that's what I'm talking about. I got vision. Come on, somebody. I'm going to take a drink. Y'all give me a moment. Hold on. Or two. All right, here we go. Remember the word vision, because I want all this whole story to build upon what we just talked about. So real quickly, let's give me some feedback. What does vision mean? Talk to me. What's vision mean? Who took notes? Who was actually paying attention? Welcome to class. An idea? Yes, thank you. God-inspired picture, a dream. Sight. Revelation. Redemptive revelation. Okay. What does perish mean? What does perish mean?
Destroyed.
Destroyed. Disappear. She didn't even say a word. She was like, hey, that sums it up. This is perishing, y'all. What's your name, man? What's your name? Miss Marcia, you summed it up. All right, that's really good. Because don't you ever felt like that? God! Woo! All right, here we go. Okay. Luke 8:22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they don't flip to 23 yet. Let me talk on this. So they got into a boat and started out. So here you have the vision Jesus gave to the people. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. Instruction given. Remember, happy is he. What's the last part of Proverbs 29:18? Happy is he who listens to the instruction of God, right? So the instruction of Jesus to the disciples, let's, including himself, cross to the other side of the lake. So they started into, they got into a boat and started out. Pause real quick. How many of us have gotten instruction from God? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Pastor. We're going to go win the world. Glory to God. Let's go. Yes. I am a good Christian soldier marching in the army of the Lord, right? Okay, so they were good. They got the instruction. They heard the word, and they started out. They started out. Okay, verse 23. Check this out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. That's my Savior. I like me a good old nap now. Come on. If you ever wanted to know if napping was scriptural, here is your verse. I need to teach my children this verse because I think those napping days are done. All right. Except my son, Thomas, he did take a nap the other day. Anyway. But soon, so Jesus is napping, soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Can you put the King James Version up? Is it possible? I want to read that again real quick, if you go back. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So realistically, they were in jeopardy. And let me just say something on faith real quick. Sometimes faith people, we can maybe default to like denying the existence of problems. That's not faith. There was a real storm. They were really in jeopardy. Like, we go through things. Real stuff happens. Crazy things happen. Things beyond our control happen. We're not denying the facts of reality. Yet, in spite of those facts of reality, we can persevere through. We can press through. We can trust God to get us through. Okay, so they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So it was a reality. All right, next verse, 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we..." There it is. So y'all know the definition. Thank you so much. I'm probably taking that on the road with me. That is my new definition. Master, Master, we perish. It's like a dance from the 80s. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, they being the wind and the raging of the water. They ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 25. Do we have it? Okay. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." So, let's back up. Let's apply Proverbs 29:18 to this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So let's flip that. Where there is a vision, the people thrive. Where there is a vision, the people succeed. Where there is a vision, the people prosper. Where there is a vision, the people find the other side of the lake. So you see right here, back in 22, Jesus gives them the command, he gives them the instruction, he gives them the order, and they heard it, they obeyed, and they started out. It's always easy to start out with the vision that God's given you. My question to us today is, what do we do when you started out to the other side and you find yourself in the midst of this faith project, and then all of a sudden the storms of life hit, because they will. Right? I'm pausing because I want you to get that. Storms of life will hit. The wind will blow. The waves will rage. It's going to happen. But in spite of the devil trying to shut you down, in spite of the enemy trying to get you off course, in spite of the natural circumstances trying to hold you back from getting to the other side, you have to, what Jesus said in verse 25, is have faith in God. And if Jesus told me to go to the other side, in spite of this storm and this wind and this trial and this tribulation, hold on, baby, because it's just a matter of time before I get over there. But they ran to him and said, "Master, Master, we perish. We're running wild. We're disappearing. We're falling short over here. We need your help." And he rose up and he did what they should have done, and speak to that storm and speak to that wind. And ladies and gentlemen, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 still applies to you and I today. It says, Jesus answered, said, "Have faith in God." Or you can say it like this: have the God kind of faith. Let's flip over there real quick. Mark chapter 11, verse 22-23-24. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 23, go to verse 24. Verse 24, please. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, you are at a spot of decision. You have to believe this or doubt it. What did Jesus tell you to do? Okay. But you don't have to answer this one out loud. But what's the vision he gave you? What is the instruction he gave you to do? If you believe the things that he told you to do, for example, go to the other side of the lake, if you believe that, you're going to get to the other side of the lake. If you believe that he's told you to start that business, if you believe he told you to run for mayor, if you believe he told you to stop a youth camp, if you believe he told you to start a youth camp, if you believe he told you to step into the ministry, if you believe he told you to start driving a truck, whatever it is, that's the beauty of relationship, right? It's all different for each of us. But if you believe that God spoke that to you, you can rest assured it's going to come to pass. You just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. So I want to encourage us today to see yourself in the future. See your vision. I'll tell a little story. I'll say it kind of generally here. Y'all heard my testimony before? Anybody heard my testimony? I was a rebellious teenager, caught up in stuff I shouldn't have been caught up in. And I remember being 17 years old, probably 17 years old. And I was at my mom's on her sidewalk at our house in Arlington, Texas. And I was smoking, and I shouldn't have been. And I was there smoking. And I remember I had like this quick little probably 5-second blip of a vision. And I saw me at like 30, married with kids. And I had the thought, I don't want to be doing this at 30. And it went away, and I went on with my life and didn't really change a whole lot that moment. But what happened was God planted a seed of vision in my heart. I got married when I was 30. Turned out I had a vision of my future right there. It wasn't maybe probably a year or so after that vision happened that my whole life was radically transformed, and I put the old ways away and I moved on to a new life as a Christian. God will minister to you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your perishing. He'll give you a blip of your future to say, look, hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. And you look around the natural, you say, but currently I'm in jeopardy right now. But God specializes in taking people in the midst of jeopardy and turning their lives around if they just will keep focus on the vision and taking them into their future and making them amazing and making them special and making them somebody's. Ladies and gentlemen, Zachary Bigley, my dad was an alcoholic. My grandpa was an alcoholic. My great-grandpa was an alcoholic that hung himself at the age of 29. There is no family tree of me supposed to be a preacher. There's no family tree of me coming from a great, wealthy, rich family that grows up in an area and becomes a mayor. I got a GED, y'all. I got a good enough diploma. I went to college for about a semester. And then I got an opportunity to go preach, and I left college and never went back because I knew what I was called to do. And I'm a living witness that God can take a messed up dude with an absentee dad that had all kinds of crazy stuff going on in his life. And it's by the grace of God, I did not quit. I began to put myself in environments around good, positive people. I began to hang out with elders and men and women of God that would pour in to me and pour in wisdom to me, and they would give me opportunities. And I began to take steps. After step, and every now and again, I'd have a little stumble, and I had to get up, and I had to dust myself off, and I had to remember and smack myself a little bit and say, Bigley, you got a vision to fulfill. Amen. And I'm looking at this thing because I'm trying to make an example. You got a lot of distractions here, but I got to stay focused on what God has told me I'm supposed to do. I promise you it's super easy to be on your vision, mission, going, and then all of a sudden, I'm just going to chill out and take a little break. It's really easy to fit into the crowd, isn't it? It's really easy just to kind of hide and lay low. It takes someone with some courage to stand out in front of the crowd and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to fulfill destiny. I get it. Maybe y'all don't want to go this way. You need to go hang out with God and go pray and get a vision for your life. But if you're going to hang out with me, I'm going somewhere. Well, you sound arrogant. Call me what you want. I'm going somewhere. And men, let's be honest. Our wives want a man that will lead them with some vision. I ain't pastoring today. I'm here as a guest minister. Let me back. But man, let's rise up. Let's start thinking legacy. Let's start thinking generational. We got a vision to fulfill for our family. And y'all are probably already all doing that, so y'all are on the right path. So harness the power of your imagination. It's 11:40. I'm going to try to get y'all out of here pretty quick. Harness the power of your imagination. I know I didn't give y'all this verse, but can you pull up Ephesians 1:18 real quick? If you don't have it, I'll just read it out of my scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Y'all getting anything so far? Are y'all encouraged?
I love it.
Okay, you got it there. All right, so the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. The eyes of our understanding. I want you to harness the power of your imagination. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, God's calling, and what the riches, y'all, there is a richness in God of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. How many saints of God do we got here? That means you're a Christian. Saints. So this applies to you. Paul is telling the Ephesians, and just to give you a little bit of a nugget here, there's two prayers, one in chapter 1 and one in chapter 3. I highly recommend you go in here, chapter 1, chapter 3, and pray these Ephesian prayers over yourself. Pray them, and it's a whole biblical prayer. It's really cool, and you'll just see your life completely transformed and go to a whole new level because you're praying the Word. But in this prayer that Paul has here, he's saying to us, that the eyes imply vision, the vision of your understanding be enlightened. That word understanding means exercising deep thought, imagination. Wish we had some creatives in here that weren't afraid to use their imagination and be in tune with the Holy Spirit. and see some amazing things be created in this world. Exercise, deep thought. My house got flooded, most of it, and so we've been in this whole thing. Y'all can imagine my 8-month pregnant wife trying to nest, and the house got flooded, so the floor, we had this really nice herringbone tile and had to get moved out, carpets out. It was flooding, so you can imagine. And so we were in a 2-bedroom, 2.5 bath townhome, Airbnb, with 3 kids, wife and I, she's pregnant, a lab, a Maltese, a gerbil, and a cat. Right? So, help me, Jesus. Then we're dealing with insurance, and if you've ever been through that, it's just been a whole thing. All right. In the midst of all this, there were some workers coming in. I totally forgot where I was going with that, and I just was reminded. Sorry. There were some workers that came in to do some work at the house, and all of a sudden began to notice that when the boss man was on the site, the work was getting done a little bit better. When the boss man wasn't on the site, things like we had just stuff get damaged, and like our stove, you know, the drawer you pull out of the stove, it's bent. Who bent it? Well, I don't know. Maybe it was anywhere. And the boss man was on the job site, and one of his workers, they were putting up these closet, you know, those bendy closet doors, and the hole was too big to get it going in there. And generally, if the boss man wasn't there, they'd have probably been like, oh, well, it just doesn't fit. They'd probably hung out till about 3:00, went home, got paid for the day. Sorry, didn't work. But the boss man happened to be there, and he said, well, what about getting some wood glue and wood putty, whatever it was, and making it there and making a hole and making it work? He solved the problem. Oh, yeah, okay. They go in there and they fix it, and go figure, it worked. And it kind of hit me, talking about exercising deep thought, understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Young people, if you want to get ahead in this generation, honestly, it's really not even that hard. I've come to understand, I got this epiphany the other day. All you got to do is think just a little bit. I'm serious, you got, I don't even want to say that because I'll probably have to repent. But you got some people, how can I say the Holy Spirit? You got some people that need vision for their life. That's what is going on out there. But people don't think. Remember COVID when we got to stay home and government was sending us money? That was nice. What happened? Folks didn't get out of that mindset. And if you want to excel in life, if you'll just think a little bit, use this brain, use your imagination, use your creativity, and think just a little bit and solve one little problem, it'll set you apart from the rest of your crew. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing raises come in. You'll start seeing promotion. You'll start seeing opportunities. Creativity will produce opportunities. But you have to trust in the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your understanding and get a vision for your life. Closing my Bible. Coming in for a landing, Pastor. But I do have just that much left. But I will be fair and get this out of the way. Y'all okay? Y'all getting anything? Yeah. Vision is what's going to cause us to succeed. Ain't that right, Miss Susie? All right, so once you get the vision, this is what you got to do. Now you got to keep that vision before you always. It'll be harder to go in another direction if I'm vision-minded. What has God spoken to me? Okay, this is the direction I got to go. What has God said? Okay. God, are you sure? Okay. When I was running for mayor, John, people started, y'all ever had Facebook keyboard warriors get on? Kind of, oh man. And I did what I shouldn't have done. I read the comments. I should have stayed out of the comments. And I read it. And I had this, I had a good reply. I had a good reply, but I didn't. Pastor, I didn't send it. I used wisdom. My wife, she was ready. She was loaded. Them thumbs were loaded. Come on, wives. Y'all know when you get to defending your man, y'all know how y'all can get. Woo-wee. She didn't send it. Thank God. But it got to the thing, because it's politics and people want power and all these different things. And so it got to the, I heard the Holy Spirit speak this to me. He said, if you just endure this little storm, it's just a little storm. You just endure this, it'll smooth out. All right, okay. Got a word from the Lord. I endured it, went through, I ended up winning, okay? But in that time, it's like, God, are you sure? Are you sure about this? You ever had the leading of the Holy Spirit and you stepped out like the disciples, the storm? Are you sure? Because God. But you got to keep the vision before you. All right, so get a vision and live by these words of Oral Roberts. Y'all ready? Y'all know who Oral Roberts is? He passed away in 2009. Man of God. He was a healing evangelist, pioneer with television ministry, a lot of cool stuff. Then God told him to go build a college. How do you know your vision's from God? It lives on after you die. Thank you for the one amen. I thought that was pretty good. It lives on after you die. Oral Roberts University is still going on. It's doing better than it was probably when he was alive. He said these words: people will always tell you it can't be done. Y'all ever had haters? Are you sure? What, John? Yeah, haters will promote you and you ain't got to pay for it. So we definitely want haters. But people always tell you it can't be done. He said, don't listen to that. Do these three things and you'll always succeed. You ready? Number one, find the will of God. What's the will of God for your life? How do you find that? Pray. Open your scripture, get wisdom, get counsel from godly people you trust. Don't talk to somebody that ain't ever done nothing in their life. Some of y'all's friends, they're not wise counsel. What do you think I should do? They're over there, ain't done nothing in their life. That ain't who you ask. You talk to people that have actually accomplished some things in life, right? Find the will of God. Once you found the will of God, confer no longer with flesh and blood. So once you know it's the will of God, once you've sought counsel, once you've gotten the wisdom of God and you are determined, you are settled, this is the will of God for my life, now it's time to stop talking to people. Why? Because people will talk you out of your vision quicker than woo-wee. Eve and Adam, this is from the beginning of time. They're hanging out there. God says, look, you got all these trees. He gave them a vision. You got all these trees. You can eat from all this. Don't eat from that one. All of a sudden, they were good. They were living life, walking in the cool of the garden with God. They were chewing, right? All of a sudden, this serpent comes up that was possessed by the devil.
Oh, no.
He goes up there. He says, did God say, did he, that little doubt, did he? So fast forward to you today, God gives you a vision. He says, look, you can do all this. Don't go down this road. Go down this road. And then all of a sudden, isn't it like the enemy to come up there and say, did God really give you that vision for your life? John, did God really say that to you? Miss Susie, did God really, really give you that vision for your life? Just that doubt. And maybe it ain't even the devil. Maybe it's just this old noggin up here and our own insecurities and our own, right? Our own past failures and our own lenses that we filter things through. Well, maybe God didn't. No. If I pray, I got peace in my heart. I've gotten counsel. I know it's the will of God. I got to stop talking to people because people will talk me out of that so quick. And then thirdly, last thing, is once you found the will of God for your life, once you quit talking to people about it, then, what is it? Fulfill, let me read it again, get your job done at all costs.
Persevere.
Don't quit. Well, I don't have the money. Come on, the money will come. Adults, y'all know this, money comes, money goes. We still got roofs overhead. As you can tell, I'm eating still pretty good. Well, I don't know if I'll be able to. I'm getting the job done at all costs. Amen.
listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.